chapter 18, book of Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read verses 9 through verse 14. And he, that would be Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised or looked down upon others. And here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This, of course, is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And like most of Christ's parables, they're often misinterpreted, misunderstood, misapplied. On the surface, it's simply a parable about two men, the prayers that they prayed, which might lead one to conclude that it is a parable essentially about prayer. And certainly there are lessons in the parable concerning the spirit of prayer. And though the parable contains two prayers, that's not the point of the parable. It is a parable of salvation. It is an illustration of the salvation of a sinner. The key word is verse 14, justified. That's the key word in the parable. It's a parable that shows the way to be justified before God. Again, it answers the age-old question, how then can man be justified with God? It's also a parable that rebukes those who think that they can justify themselves. But primarily it is a parable about God and the sinner. Those are the two characters in the parable, God and the sinner. The parable is illustrated by the lesson of the parable is illustrated by the use of these two men, a Pharisee and a publican. And everyone here identifies with one of these two men, Pharisee or the publican. The subject tonight is which sinner? We're all sinners. Which sinner are we in this parable? We're either the Pharisee or the publican. You could title this message also Two Sinners at Church, because these same two sinners are church every time the doors are open. You have this Pharisee, you have this publican. So which sinner? First of all, just consider the teaching of the parable, and then we'll get into the Pharisee and the publican. But in the parable, you have God. And as we said this morning, God, of course, is perfect. He's undefiled. He's free from all blemish, perfectly pure. Perfectly pure, perfectly sinless. You and I can't even fathom perfect, perfectly righteous in Himself. He is all holy. He's only holy. He's altogether holy. He's always holy, always perfect. Because God is holy, He abhors sin. He abhors it universally, perpetually, and with great intensity. Not only is He holy, He's just. God always acts in accord with who He is. Everything, holiness is the central attribute of God. Everything God does is holy. Everything. Everything God thinks is holy. So you have God. We also have the sinner. The sinner is represented by these two individuals, the Pharisee and the publican. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. To sin simply means that we transgress the law of God. 1 John 3, verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law of God, for sin is the transgression of the law." So whatever transgresses the law is sin. Whatever violates the law of God is sin. And every single sin is a violation of God's law. So sin is any deviation, again, whether it be in thought, word, or action, any deviation from God's law. The degree of deviation is not what defines sin. Sin is a deviation from God. There are various degrees, of course, but the degree does not determine what is sin. It is simply a deviation from God's law. The manner of deviation is not what defines sin. Again, it's any deviation from God's law is sin. Sin is a going astray from what God has prescribed. Again, it can be in thought, it can be in word, it can be in deed. So we read in 2 Kings 8, verse 46, "There is no man that sinneth not." That's the practice of sin. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by practice. There is not a single individual that is not a sinner. It is declared in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth," and then he describes what he means by just here, "that doeth good and sinneth not." There's not one upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Again, Romans 3, verses 9 through 12, the verses that we read this morning. And those are summarized in Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So all without exception are born in sin. The psalmist declared in Psalm 51, in verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Since we have a sinful nature, we sin in practice. We are born with a sinful nature. and we immediately begin to sin. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. A sinner is guilty before God. Again, James 2, verse 10. You offend in one point, guilty of all. If you break one law of God, you've shattered all of it, and you're guilty. That means you're under the condemnation of God. Now, in the parable, you have this Pharisee and this publican, and they're viewed in relation to God. Notice in verse 11, the first two words, the Pharisee, and then you skip several words, and you come to the word God. The Pharisee, and then there is God. You see the same thing in verse 13. And the publican. And then you skip several words. And again you come to the word God. So you have the Pharisee and God. You have the publican and God. What it is there is God, and there is the sinner. There is God. He's holy. He's just. He demands perfect righteousness. And on the other hand, you have the sinner who has violated the law of God and who cannot in and of himself please the Lord and is in desperate need of this perfect righteousness that will meet and satisfy the demands of a perfect God. This sinner, represented by the Pharisee and the publican, and every sinner, desperately needs forgiveness, needs to be cleansed, needs to be delivered, needs acceptance. God and the sinner. Again, how can you reconcile the two? How can the sinner ever be accepted by a holy and just God? And that is what is illustrated in the parable. Now we're told in verse 14, verse 9, who Jesus speaks the parable to. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves that they could somehow obtain justification before God. And trusting in themselves, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And doing so, they despised others. So this is the target audience that Jesus is speaking to. They who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's who he's addressing. Again, in the parable, the sinner is pictured by the Pharisee and the publican. And these two individuals, the Pharisee and the publican, declare the division of two systems. And it's the only two systems of religion that exist. The system of self, human achievement, or the system of divine accomplishment. Two systems. The system of self, the system of human achievement, or the system of divine accomplishment. You see, religion is really not all that complicated. People say all the time, there's so many beliefs, it's just so confusing. Well, we'll simplify it. Yes, there are a lot of different beliefs, but they all fall under two systems. You either get to heaven by yourself or by God. Two systems. It's either by works or grace. You can either make yourself right before God or you can't. Plain and simple. No other options. Either you can achieve a righteousness that satisfies God or you can't. It's one of the two. In all religions of the world, they fall under one of those two categories. In other words, you are either the means of your own justification or you're not. You either do it actively or it has been done for you. Again, it comes down to two things: works and grace. Works and grace. That's the simple division of all religion upon the earth. It's the simple division of all religion throughout human history. It is either human achievement or divine accomplishment. And every religious system apart from the true is a system of human achievement. Every single one. The world system throughout history is you get to God by being good. Now, everybody can have a different definition of good. But how good do you have to be to get to God? How good do you have to be to appease God? You have to be perfect. God's holy. God's perfect. You have to be absolutely perfect. They will say you have to be morally good, religiously good, and that is what makes you acceptable to God. But it does not matter what the name of the religion is. You can call it Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Muslim, whatever. Whatever name you want to attach to it, whether it is a worldwide religion, or whether it is a private, personal, concocted belief, it has the idea that you get to God by human achievement. That is all man-made religion. And that is the lie that has dominated human history ever since the fall. Again, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And what Jesus illustrates in this parable is the very reverse of what the religious elite thought in the day of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus brings forth in the parable has absolutely no place in their theology. So let's look at these two sinners. The Pharisee and the publican. Two men, two postures, two prayers, two different results. We read in verse 10 that two men went up into the temple to pray. That would happen twice a day. 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The morning and the evening sacrifice that is prescribed for the burnt offering, and that is explained in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1. This blood sacrifice, of course, was a symbol or a type of the atonement. So these two men enter the temple. There's the sacrifice, there's the burnt offering taking place. They can see that. a type of the atonement. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Lord tells us this story about these two men. Both are sinners. Both go up into the Lord's house on the same day at the same time. And they both go there to pray. They're both guilty. They're both sinners. These two sinners, the Pharisee, the publican, again describes everyone here. We identify with one or the other. Which sinner are we? First of all, consider the Pharisee. The Pharisee feels pretty good about himself. He feels satisfied with his standing before God. He represents the dominant idea in Judaism at that time of Christ, and the dominant idea that's been throughout history and even now, that if you're moral enough, if you're religious enough, you will be accepted by God. The Pharisee knew not that he was a sinner. The Pharisee did not feel that he was a sinner before and in the sight of God. The Pharisee is wrapped up in his own self-importance, his own self-righteousness. He's very proud, very self-righteous, very boastful. In his prayer, which was a prayer to himself, he expresses his confidence in himself. He boasts, first of all, of his business honesty, and then his morality. In verse 11, he says, "I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers." And that all may have been true. In verse 12, he took great confidence in his religious deeds. He said, "I fast twice in the week." How many of us do that? Probably none. But he did. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And then notice in verse 11 that he twice compares himself or measures himself by others. He says, "I am not as other men." That's the first time. And then the second time, "or even as this publican." By measuring himself with others, he felt pretty good about himself. Now, nobody worse than a publican in those times. So he picks the worst one in the temple. And he says, "I thank God that I'm not like him." He's convinced himself, "I'm better than him, therefore I'm okay." But you see, he had the wrong standard. Matthew 5, verse 48, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." He was measuring himself by the wrong standard. People do that all the time. We do that by nature. This Pharisee put himself on a pedestal. He trusted in himself. And if you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in yourself. So again, you're one or the other. We're all naturally self-righteous. It's a family disease of all the children of Adam. By nature, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. In the Pharisees' so-called prayer, there was no sense of personal sin, none whatsoever. No sense of personal need because of sin. There was no acknowledgement of guilt, none. He seeks no mercy. He seeks no grace. He seeks no forgiveness. Why is it that sinners do not seek mercy and grace and forgiveness? Because they don't feel they need it. They're like this Pharisee. Maybe not to the same degree, but they're still like him. The sacrifice of the burnt offering, he could see it. It meant nothing to him. Had no meaning whatsoever. Did not speak to him at all. He's just thankful that he's not unrighteous. I'm just thankful that I'm not wicked. Self-exalted, he goes away. Justified and accepted and approved by God in his own mind. Only in his own mind. That's how people want to go away from church in the religious world. They want to go away feeling good about themselves. They want to go away with the feeling, I'm okay. And I'm going to be accepted and approved by God. But unless you have the righteousness of God, you're not okay. And you're not going to be accepted by God. And then the story changes dramatically. In verse 13, we read, and the publican. There's a shift in the story, or in the parable. You take this Pharisee and this publican. They're both sinners, but they could not be more different in the way that they were perceived by the population. The Pharisee was viewed as the most religious of men. He was the most respected. He was the most honorable. The publican, a publican was a Jew who had become a tax collector for the Roman government. So a publican is a traitor. A publican has sold out. And he has joined the enemy and he's working against his own people. The publican was one of the most hated individuals that there is. He's the most despised. He would be looked upon with the utmost contempt. So you put these two individuals side by side, and the population thinks, this Pharisee, he's a good guy. He's an honorable man. This publican, he's useless. He's the scum of the earth. But in God's eyes, they're both sinners. They're both sinners. These tax collectors, they were corrupt. They would swindle, again, their own people. They were very dishonest. And again, they were just viewed as the scum of the earth by the Jewish people. The publican, like the Pharisee, is a sinner. But these two, in the eyes of the population, are different. But they're also different in our story, in the parable. And the difference is the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, it is either human achievement or it is divine accomplishment. It's one or the other. It is either the work of man or the work of God. In verse 13, as a result of God's work upon him, this publican knows that he's a sinner. He comes into the temple. God's working upon him. And he realizes, I'm a sinner. We see that he's standing afar off, perhaps in a secluded corner. I believe he's standing off, far off for two reasons. Number one, he's a publican, and he's best hid. But more importantly, because he feels unworthy to be in the presence of God. Because of God's work upon him, he is now filled with guilt and shame. And he fixes his eyes upon the ground. It says that he would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. He's broken. He's dejected. He's overwhelmed with guilt and shame. And he shows it in his posture. As you see him there, he knows he's unworthy. He knows he's unworthy of the least of God's favor. He knows that he's a swindler. He knows that he's unjust. He knows that he's dishonest. He knows that he's a cheat. He knows that he's corrupt. He knows that he's immoral. He not only knows it, he feels it. And he believes it. And he would confess it. All of this is due to the work of God upon his heart. He's heavy-hearted. He feels the weight of his sin. And begins to feel his enormous need. And there's not even a hint of the attitude that would say, well, I know that I'm a sinner, but at least I'm here in the temple. I'm better than most tax collectors I know. There's not a hint of that. He feels the full weight of his sin. Notice his behavior. He smote upon his breast. He beats upon his chest. A gesture that demonstrates extreme anguish. He's in anguish of mind. And in torment. He cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went directly to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He is saying, God, I know I deserve to be consumed just as this burnt offering is being consumed. Again, mercy is not getting what we deserve. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's saying, God, please apply this burnt offering, this atonement to me. But notice the last three words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. That is real in this man's life at this moment. Me, a sinner. He's conscious of his own sinfulness. Me, a sinner. He's pounding his chest. Me, a sinner. I am a wretched sinner. I am unworthy to stand near to God. I need this burnt offering. I need this atonement. Me, a sinner. Has that ever been real? When God saves a soul, that is real. Me, a sinner. He's brokenhearted. He's humble. He knows he's unworthy. Me, a sinner. I believe he feels like we all felt when the Lord saved us, that there's no sinner like us. That's what Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee pleaded merit, and he was thankful that he was righteous. But this man, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And I want to tell you something. No one had to tell him what to say. No one came up to this man and said, will you admit that you're a sinner? Oh yeah, I'm a sinner. Well, would you repeat this prayer? Just say these exact words. No one had to tell him that. And no one has to tell anyone who's under the work of the Spirit of God what to say. God be merciful to me, a sinner. No one had to convince him. God has already done that. And immediately he just cries out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now the Pharisee, he believes in himself. He believes that he has some merit. He believes that somehow he can earn acceptance with God. He believed that he could be good enough. But on the other hand is this publican. And as a result of God's work upon his heart, he despises himself. He knows that he has no merit to plead. He knows that he has nothing to offer to God. And he knows that he can never earn acceptance with God. And he confesses, just in his plea, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He is confessing his guilt. He is confessing that he is a filthy sinner deserving of the wrath of God. And there's this Pharisee thanking God that he's not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. While he was praying that, the publican is smiting his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And everyone here, you identify with one of these two sinners. We're all sinners. But which sinner are we? The one that God has saved? Or the one who's still trying to make an appeasement with God? This publican simply pleaded for God to be merciful. God provided a way for this publican to be acceptable. God provided forgiveness and the cleansing of sin that he needed. God, in his mercy, provided the acceptance with God that this man needed, and the deliverance that he needed. And we read in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified before God. This man went down to his house justified. Other than the word justified, there's two words that kind of jump out there. This man. This man. This man who was a publican. This man who was one of the most despised and corrupt classes of men of the day. This man was justified before God. This man who was a traitor to his own countrymen This man who belonged to a notoriously vile group of people. This man, an oppressor of the poor, a robber of widows and of orphans. This man, being a publican, was totally selfish, lived only to enrich himself. No matter who he had to trample upon, it didn't matter to him. This man, being without feeling, it was this man who went down to his house justified. How did that happen? God met this man. And God's hand was heavy upon him. God granted life to him. And he began to see the blackness of his heart. And he began to feel the weight of his sin pressing down upon him. And he began to feel and see his unworthiness. This man, who had nothing to offer to God, is the one who went down justified. He cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went home different. He went home justified. He was fully, freely, and absolutely justified before God. And he knew it. And you'll never convince me that he didn't praise God all the way home. And I believe he probably ceased to be a publican as well. On the other hand, there's this Pharisee. He left the temple that day the same way he went in, depending upon himself. This man went down to his house justified. That's of the publican. But then notice what it says of the Pharisee, rather than, in verse 14, rather than the other. Rather than the other. The Pharisee went home justified in his own mind, but he was not justified before God. The publican went home justified, accepted by God because of a work that God did. Today, you're either a justified sinner or a condemned sinner. We're all sinners. Which of these sinners do I identify with? A justified sinner because of a work of God, or a condemned sinner still depending somehow, some way, upon ourselves? If you've never experienced what this publican experienced, I pray that he would cause you to see and feel your sinfulness so much so that all you can do is cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the Pharisee, he's comparing himself with others. I thank God I'm not an extortioner, an unjust, an adulterer like others. I thank God I'm not like this publican. But the publican said, me, a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You have no other legitimate plea before God. This is your only hope, God's mercy. So we have this Pharisee, we have this publican. Which sinner are we? We're all sinners. The Pharisee, thinking somehow, I'm not sure how, but somehow it's all going to work out and I'll be accepted by God. Or we like the publican, a saved sinner. A saved sinner. I'm glad to be numbered with the publican, a saved sinner. There's only two kinds of sinners today. saved and unsaved. We're all sinners. But oh, what a difference. Me, a sinner. I still know that today. I am a sinner. I'm reminded of it every single day. I am a sinner. But I'm a justified one in Christ. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't mean that I or you are better than anyone else. But as we often say, we're better off. And it's all because of what God has done. So yes, we can still say, me a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner. And that's what I'm putting my trust and my hope in, is in Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in myself to get to heaven. And if you are, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You are condemned before God. You need to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.